Father, we're very thankful for your Holy Spirit. Couldn't make it without you. You're the God of everything. And all we could ever think, ask, or imagine, you've been right there. When we were falling, you caught us. And even if we fell down, you picked us up. And Lord, when you picked us up, you did it in love. You didn't judge. You didn't criticize. You just picked us up, kissed us on our foreheads, mended our wounds, told us to keep going. And God, we thank you for loving us so richly that you gave your only son. And that's what we've come again to share. That we're all in this body together seeking a word from you. Oh God, would you again speak to us? Bring us, Lord, to a place of unity. Strengthen us as one. Just as iron sharpens iron. Oh God, let us rely on each other as we all rely on you. All of us busying ourselves together, becoming one strong people. One loud voice, one loud praise, that your name be glorified. Open our eyes and our ears afresh. God, we need to hear from you. And it's because of that sweet Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we know that you are here and it's going to be all right. Oh God, we thank you more than our words could say. We bless you and say it is well. Come, Lord Jesus, stir us up again. Hear us. And we'll hear from you. Please, God, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. People said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's praise God together. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 God bless you. Grab your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 55. Amen. 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 God bless you again. Very thankful to God for each and every one of you. Choir, that was just beautiful. Amen. That was just beautiful. Amen. I enjoyed that one. Amen. God bless you. Well done. Very well done. Isaiah chapter 55. I want to look at a few verses here, and we're going to let you get on with your Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon here most directly, but it's good to be here. Beginning at verse 3, Isaiah 55 says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. I'm ready to make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the mercies and unfailing love that I promised to David. He displayed my power by being my witness and a leader among the nations. You also will command the nations, and they will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God who loves you. And for just a little bit of your time, I want to share something with you I believe is going to help us along our journey. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor wants you to have the ultimate invitation. Amen. The Lord himself is calling. The Lord himself is calling. There has never been a time since the day of Adam that there was not a word from the Lord. And there will never be a time till the returning of the Lord and into eternity that there will never be a word from the Lord. He reminds us that he wants to talk to us over and over again. More often than not, children of God, he has been trying to get our attention, but we may be guilty of not listening. Sometimes we are so busy that we are too busy for the most important things. Throughout the course of history, words bear much significance. One word can change a lot of things, and several words can change a multitude of things. But I want you to bear with me for just a few moments and acknowledge with me, if you will, please, that what God has said has made the most difference in your life. God is saying to us, I'll give you life if you'll just do a few things, none of which are complicated, but I'll give you life. The word reminds us that whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Freedom is a good thing. Freedom may be one of the best things. But the Lord is saying to us that there are requirements that need to be addressed. Because without these standards or requirements, salvation would just be a gain. So God is talking to us, and he tries over and over again, ultimately, to reveal both plan, purpose, and power in the life of every believer. Those are three good things that you ought to have every day. Plan, purpose, and power. All of us make plans. Yes, sir. All of us make plans, And many of us live by purpose. And all of us want power. Say amen, somebody. If you will remember, the word of God says that his is both the power and the glory. But it's right there in the text, Reverend. He says, if you'll just do these things, I plan to make you glorious. Amen. That's good news right there. God wants to make us glorious. So when Isaiah comes on the scene here in the 55th chapter, and we began to listen, and I pray that we're listening to what he's saying. He said, just imagine the deeper implications of the text, if you will, because what God is saying then, God is still saying now. Can I bother you for just a moment? He says, people, this is a good plan. God is saying to us that he wants to make us free. If Isaiah was a politician, he'd make his platform based on this. That God has a plan. And what God is saying is, just come unto me. If you come to me, I'll include you in the plan. This is the invitation the prophet of God is speaking. People are gathered around and they're listening to Isaiah, and you can imagine there's a buzz going on throughout the crowd. Well, this is too easy. All we got to do is come. Yeah, that's all you got to do is come. Because the opening line of the conversation started out with Isaiah reaching people where people like to be reached. He starts talking about eating and eating for free. Say amen, somebody. He said, listen, everybody who's thirsty can come and have a drink. Everybody that's hungry can come and eat. He said, and you go shopping and don't need no money. Yeah. Folks said, amen. Preach on, Isaiah. But he said, but you got to come. Notice again, you got to come. No, you didn't hear me. You got to come. The invitation of God, this is what I love about preaching, Reverend White. The invitation of God works on both sides of the street. It is not only an invitation to those who are willing to come, but it's an invitation to those who don't want to come. Say amen, somebody. God says, not only are you invited, but I'm inviting the uninvited. Come. Just come. He said, listen, here's the instruction that I've been given to God, from God, to the people of God. Y'all got to come. The writer would later say, and we've all come to hear it in the Hebrew letter, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. Please come. How many of you have ever sent out an invitation to a party or some event or some function, and you sent out 150 invitations? And only 35 folk showed up. Felt kind of awkward, didn't it? Felt kind of bad, didn't you? You said, well, what did I do wrong? I sent out the invitations early enough. I invited all the right people. You do know when you send out invitations, y'all don't have to say amen loud. You can say amen on the quiet side. But the first invitation go to the really, we want you to come people. Now, don't y'all try to play me. I mean, there's some folk we wind up having to invite because somebody said, well, did you invite Sister X? You're like, really? It's now, you know, if you don't invite her and you invited him, it's going to be a problem. And you say, oh, come on, really? But that's what happens. Y'all really thinking hard, ain't you? Y'all going down y'all list now. A, B, and C list. But he said, listen, this is what God is telling me to tell y'all. That you gotta come. And when you come, please understand that the gospel does not exclude. That's why we end up with what we end up with in churches and in Bible studies and in prayer meetings. We look around the room sometimes and have in our own mind these questions about what is he or she doing here? Why they keep coming? Why are they hanging around? Well, I've got an answer for you. Because the gospel does not exclude. Some of us ought to lift up our hand right now and just shout out, I'm glad to be in the service. Amen. Because there are some places we will never be invited. Some places we'll never be welcome. Some places they'll never give us preferred seating. But thanks be unto God, he says, come. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. And then he says, please consider. And if you look at verse 3, he said, listen, you got to at least pay attention to me and consider what I'm offering you. The text says that the individual must consider. You do understand, beloved God, that you're not going to make it into the kingdom on a group plan. You're not going to get in because we were all Lottie and Dottie together, but each individual has to think for themselves. Let this decision be made based on information, inspiration, and invitation. That's good preaching right there. You understand that one of the struggles of the Christian church movement is that we really are considering the wrong things. We are not to consider the biggest church. We're not to consider who has the most members. We're not to consider who has the most chandeliers or who has the best choir. What we ought to consider is the word from God. What is God saying to us? Must we think on these things? He says, consider. He says, please, I'm asking you to do two things. Come to me and hear me. A lot of us tune God out. A lot of us probably don't even remember what I said 5 minutes ago because we don't hear. Some of us are certainly going through the motions of spirituality, but are not investing in manifesting spirituality. That's why when the Bible talks about fruit, that's what God is talking about. God is saying, based on what we have planted and what we have nurtured and what we have protected, we ought to see something from the Christian. The world is looking at us, not for what we drive or what we wear, but what are we producing as Christians? God said, if you heard me, you do something. And because you're considering the wrong things. As I've said to you before, again, it's one of my favorite movies, but there's a line in it, Deacon Anderson, that I always use, and it's in Cool Hand Luke when he says, you got to get your mind right. Remember that old song we sang, Sister Davis, back in the church, got my mind stayed on Jesus. Some of y'all, your heart ain't in it. And the Lord says, I know that. He said, because your lips are saying things that your heart can't support. But you need to consider me. Not consider the pastor. Don't consider the deacon. Don't consider what's wrong. Don't consider what went wrong. Don't consider where we are. But keep your mind on Jesus. Stay on the Lord. Keep your eyes. He said, listen, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. When you look into the hills, don't wander, don't waver, but consider me. The Lord said, because I got a pardon for you. Please hear me well. Next few minutes, I'm going to go back quickly, but please hear me well. He said, listen, it's a full pardon. And we would only be fooling ourselves to suggest we don't need this pardon. You might not be sitting by anybody you can be thoroughly honest with right now, but if you can just roll it over in your own mind and admit, I sure need a pardon. Yeah, because I've got some issues in my life that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side and kind and forgiving and loving, I would have been disqualified. But God gave me a pardon. God said, I'm gonna give you a pass on that one because I know the plans I have for you. That's why the saints of old had it right when they said, think on this. Paul was right when he said, think on this. And all of us in the church now need to consider him. What is God saying to us? Well, how are we going to know what God is saying if we won't go where God is talking? Now, I know some of you are deep in spiritual and say, well, the Lord is everywhere. But the Lord wants your undivided attention. That's why when we come to church, they say things like, let all the earth keep silent before him. So you can hear what God is saying. I know some of you say, well, Reverend, I listen to my radio. I got it on 88.3. I'm listening to the preachers. I got my CDs in But that's not undivided attention. Because all it's going to take in the middle of the sermon is somebody to cut you off in traffic. Or for one of the children to drop a french fry in the floor. or something crazy that happened, and you going to forget about being high and lifted up. And you're going to shift to the ministry of laying hands. You got to consider. And then he said, you know that there are sure mercies that I'm trying to give you. And I don't know if you've lived long enough to not need mercies, but I need mercies. Amen. And the Lord's everlasting considerations of the covenant requires that we know of these mercies. He said, return unto the Lord and he'll give you a pardon. You don't have to be afraid. You remember when you would get that, you got to go to the principal office message. You remember when your sibling or cousin or relative came and said, your mama looking for you. You knew that it wasn't good, but the text says there are mercies waiting for you. And this is why I want all of those who think you are far beyond the reach of God's redemptive work to please consider that you're not excluded. Please consider that no matter how much you drink or how much you smoke or how much you cuss or how much you steal or how many times you've committed adultery or sexual immorality or whatever little thing you're dealing with, you're not excluded from consideration. God still loves you. God still wants you to be saved. It doesn't matter if they put you out the organization. It doesn't matter if he or she walked away. God still wants you. And if anybody is a candidate, you are. Isaiah said, there's a pardon. Doesn't matter how jacked up you are. Doesn't matter where your stash is. Doesn't matter who your secret friends are. Doesn't matter what your alternative lifestyle is. God still wants you. Doesn't matter. You're gay, straight. Doesn't matter. The world may judge you. But God says, silence. I'm talking now. And I said, whosoever will, they can come. But Lord, we don't want that kind in our church, and we don't want that kind in our assembly. We don't want that kind to serve as our pastor. We don't want, God said, I am God. You don't tell me who to put nowhere. Matter of fact, you better be thankful that you where you at. I'm God. There's a full pardon. Nudge the neighbor and say, that's good news. Then not only does God say that, he said, listen, I'm making good on my offer. Because nothing that I say is going to return to me void. How many know God will make good on his offer? Yeah, God said, I got this. He said, listen, I said I'd take them. I said I would in no ways cast them out. I said whosoever, and I'm going to make good on my offer. I'm still standing as a gate, still standing as a door. And the question this hour is, has God ever promised you anything that he didn't deliver? That's the question. I'm almost done. I know you don't believe it. But has God ever promised you? Just consider. When you think about it, what has God ever said to you in his word that he didn't do? Not one thing. There may be some things that you haven't read yet. But there are promises upon promises upon promises that apply to each and every one of you. The devil is a liar. Has God ever let you down? No. You cannot sit here in integrity and say that God isn't fair. He said, Isaiah, go tell him. I put a deal on the table. And I'm telling you now that my history is enough for my credibility. Because I saved others before. I can save you too. whatever I promise. And then he says, when you have come and you've considered, you got to convert. Tell your neighbor, you got to come on over. You got to convert. Here's the closing argument, as he says right in the text. And again, I know you don't believe it, but I'm done. He said, listen, let everybody turn from their wicked ways. Here's a chance for y'all to help me with a little preaching. Go find three people and tell them you better turn. No, don't do that. Because some of y'all would have turned into six or seven people. But I mean, he said, listen, let every one of them turn. No, you know what I like? I'm done. Yep. Mm-hmm. First Sunday, 12th, what? Yeah. He said, listen, let them, the people. You know what I love about this text? I read this. I read the NIV. I read the NAUS. I read all of them. Not one of them had anybody's name there. So I'm thinking that God is talking to everybody. You and you and you and, well, everybody. You know, God is saying all y'all got some wicked ways. Oh, don't you go to looking at me with that tone of voice. I'm trying to leave you alone, but I hear God saying, this is a community concern. Let everybody turn from their wicked ways. Remember that old game we used to play, come out, wherever you are. He says, you got to convert. You know what he's saying? Two things. You got to repent and be reformed. Old words from the church that we don't use anymore. Repent. No. I go to church. Repent. I sing on the choir. I'm good. No. Repent. I'm the pastor. I'm good. Repent. But I'm a deacon now, and life is high and holy, and I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's. Repent. See how few amens we're getting? See, no celebration, nobody jumping up dancing, ain't nobody running in the praise moment, because repent is too much exposure. I repent, Reverend, that's going to mean I've done something. Who are you fooling? All of us have done something. Everybody has done something, and those who ain't done something yet still got time. It's early in the day. Somebody asked me one time, said, why do you brag about not getting out of bed before 10? I said, that gives me 4 good hours that I can't get in trouble. Come on now. Some of y'all know from time you get out of your bed, it's on and popping. Say amen, somebody. Some of y'all can't even answer y'all cell phone. You got to screen your call because you know if you answer that call, we finna get in trouble. Am I right about it? Come on. Everybody is struggling with sin. Another language in church, Sister April, we don't talk about much. You know, people nowadays, you know, we so fancy. I'm sorry, you asked it. Excuse me. I saw your grandmama turn. He don't even know who you is. I know who you is. I was caught up in the ghost. But we know everybody. I know up in Richmond, they don't talk about this at the church with that highfalutin preacher. But down here, we still got sin issues. See, we get in the church now and act like, listen, the church is built on sin. That's right. He came to take away sin. We sit in church, act like we don't have no sin issue. Because we got on white first Sunday, you know. We come to take communion, Reverend, and I'm the deaconess. And I'm a deacon, and my husband is. And sin is still at the stem of all of it. Jesus addresses this matter very quickly. I'll be done. He said, let he who is without sin cast first stone.
Did you notice in that text, there is no indication that anybody threw even a pebble? Because the whole town was guilty. We sit around in the church. No, we don't talk about repenting. We don't talk about sin. Just preach us happy, Reverend. Give us one of them good sermons where we can dance and shout and go back to nothingness. We must convert. The unconverted are dangerous. People who think they are above reproach, above conviction, are dangerous. Because we sit around here and we ain't growing and you ain't going to grow. And we don't hear nothing and don't want you to hear nothing. And leave us alone, Reverend. Your job is to hatch, match, and dispatch. What'd you say? What did he just say? Hatch. When they come, we bless in dedication. When we get married, Rem do my daughter and son's wedding. And Rem mama gone. Need you to do the funeral. That's all you want me to do. Deal with hatching, matching, and dispatching. No, I won't talk about sin. Yours and mine. He said, you got to convert. Repent. And then he said, be reformed. Deacon Walker, he said, reform. He said, listen, when they turn, don't think about doing wrong no more. And a moment of silence. Don't do nothing wrong. Banish from our minds the very thought of reverend. Surely you jest. He said, you got to do that. Part of your conversion is to clean up your thinking. Yeah. Old things do indeed pass away, but some of y'all got U-turns on your mind. Your past going that way, you're trying to catch it. Hey! He said, listen, let them do it. Let the people, two things he said, take responsibility for it. And take regulation to it. What? You do it. It ain't my fault that you ain't living holy. It's not the deacon's fault. It's not the minister's fault. It's not because Brookville ain't holy enough. You do it. You got to take responsibility for your life. He said, you banish it from your mind. Stop thinking evil. Some of us sit around and plot and plan. And put into action, cutting folk ties and scratching up folk cars, calling their house, hanging up, driving by, throwing toilet paper in the yard and all that crazy stuff. Let that stuff go. Yeah. Oh, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get even. You never get even. That's it. Even don't exist. Yeah. Nowhere. He said, let the people turn, repent and reform. He said, and then let them take responsibility and regulation. Keep the law. Do what God says. You know, your life would be so much better if you do what God says. He said, you're going to have to turn. He said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If you just hear me and let me in, I'll come in. You know, God wants to be with you. Amen. Convert. Change. That old song that lady sang, a change has come over me. Oh, what a wonderful change. Some of us ain't going to never be able to sing that one. Not with integrity. But ain't no reason for you to stay like that. There's a better you. Again, our real life is hidden in Christ Jesus. You don't have to play church. You can be church. Are you going to be a perfect church? Nope. There's some faults in every church. Amen. You don't need to be hopping over here. Then hopping over there. That's bad on your ankles. Every church struggling. You know why? You know that little thing I'm be done. That little thing my mama taught me. Some of y'all know, you know, this is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door and see the people. That's why the church messed up. If you look at a church from outside, ain't nothing wrong with it. When it's empty, it's beautiful. I come here sometimes, it's quiet. It's just so high and holy and reverent. But when y'all come in here, it's a little of this and a little. I'm watching y'all now. There's some stuff going on. It's notes being passed, heads shaking, children doing stuff. People got stuff on their mind. Some of y'all thinking, do I go to Miles for my chicken today or do I go to Kentucky? Some of y'all thinking, is it potato salad or mashed potatoes? And we just people. If some, see the poor child crying now, it's over. I know it's going to be all right. The reality is, all of us got to let him in. Sin is at the door. But the good news is Jesus is at the door too. And our choice is to be made based on the word of our faith. I trust you, God. And then he says, will you accept me? So the conclusion is that the conclusion. He simply says, if you turn to me, I will abundantly pardon. Pastor, are you saying it has been that easy all the time? That all I had to do was come, consider, convert, and conclude that I'll take him? Yes. You mean it wasn't about this, that, or the other? No. All God is saying is take this invitation. It's the ultimate invitation that you and I can be one together. And because I love you so much, I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send not a Moses or an Abraham. No, I'm going to send somebody. I'm not going to send David, and I'm not going to send back Isaiah. But I got somebody in mind. I got somebody who is without sin. I got somebody who has never violated the law. Somebody who learned a long time ago that people have their problems. Somebody that's going to learn how to deal with rejection. I'm going to send somebody that's going to come down through 42 generations. Stopping along the way every now and then to gather some information. Because he knows just how y'all is. He knows that every now and then folk will lift him up on a Sunday. And forget about him on a Monday. But I am going to send somebody. I'm going to send somebody who knows what it's like to have to put on his own sandals. Put on his own robe. I'm going to send somebody who's going to know what it's like to walk among the people. I'm going to send somebody that's going to be capable of bringing me unto you and then bringing you back to me.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I'm going to send somebody.
Yes, sir.
That has enough love in his hands and in his heart.
Yes, sir.
That he's going to do like the old nursery rhyme says. He's going to take the whole world in his hand. He's going to take the mamas and the daddies, the preachers and the deacons, the choir and the usher, the saved and the unsaved, and put the whole world in his hands. And I'm going to send you somebody that's going to look beyond your faults to meet your every need. I'm going to send somebody that can pick you up and turn you around. I'm going to send somebody that's going to love you real good. And no matter how messed up you are, he's going to still say, come unto me. I'm going to send somebody that's going to stand in the gap. So when the devil accuses you, he's going to remind him of the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross.
He's going to remind him that they stretched him wide, put nails in his hand. I'm going to send somebody. Who is the somebody? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord high and lifted up. His name is Jesus. I'm going to send Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent somebody. And thanks be unto God, he's still calling us from the uttermost to the guttermost. He's still calling us, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Did he do it? He sent somebody. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God sent Jesus? And early that Sunday morning, when he got up with all power, he wrote your name on a little piece of paper just to remind him what it was worth and what it was all about. That's why the angel said, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. How many know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Thanks be unto God. It's written there with ink that cannot be removed. It's written there, chiseled in stone, covered by the blood. Thanks be unto God. There's power in the blood. Power. 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 It's your invitation. You know, when you get to those swank events, you get to the door, they got that little list. You come up and they said your name. You give them your name and they pass through. Come up and you give them your name. Pass through. That's what the book says. My name is on the list.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. You can't deny me entrance. My name has been written. He invited me. And so when you get in the room, there's no song we sing. Say, there'll be nobody there that can put me out. God invited me. I came to Jesus just as I was. And he said, you're welcome. Draw near unto God. He'll draw near unto you. Stand on your feet. We're going to go. But the invitation is extended once again. Would you come to Jesus? You're standing here today. Would you consider? Your options are very few. It's either Jesus or Satan. It's heaven or hell. It's life or death. It's eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Your options are few. Don't get confused by the world. There's no such thing as the perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect people. But there is a perfect Savior. In fact, Pilate declares, I find no fault in him. I don't go to this church. I never really heard him preach. But based on this short interview, there's nothing wrong with this guy. I don't know why y'all sent him in here. And he's not worthy of crucifixion, but I find no fault in him. And he said, I'll take you just as you are. You just come to me. You got to be kind of like that sister who fought her way through the crowd. She decided, wasn't nobody going to stop me. I'm getting to Jesus, and I'm getting there now. Nobody can stop me. If you're standing here today, and you need Christ, and you do, I know you do, and you've not accepted him as the Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to come. The doors are open to Christian salvation. You come to Jesus. He will in no ways refuse you. You are welcome in the body of Christ. Would you come right now? Would you come
Would you come?
He will save you.
Listen to the song. He'll save you.
Save you. He will save.
Would you come?
He will save you. Just